Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Oh, it's so great to be home. Yes, I'm home on my own show, Spouting Off. Trademark, trademark, Spouting Off, trademark. Did I say that? Yes, I'm home. I did 4 hours for the Jimmy Lakey show this morning, and I was just wired. It's, you know, I got to tell you one thing. When you do 4 hours of talk radio the same day that you do your own show, your show prep is done. So anyway, I want to wish my friend Woof, and that's his name, who does the opening voice of "And Now Here's Your Host." He's not the same guy who does "Argue, Argue," but the person who announces my name in the opener bumper is in the hospital, and I just want to ask for special prayers for his quick recovery. He's a dear friend who did that for me. And, you know, he's a real guy. So his name, he likes to be known as Woof, or sometimes he's known as Wiley Fox. I think he's been on the radio once. I've had him as, I've talked to him a little bit about politics in the past, but he's a dear friend, and I hope he recovers quickly. So your prayers for him would be much appreciated. I'm going to wax philosophic in this first segment, and then I have another good friend of mine who you know, if you've been listening to Spouting Off for any length of time, Michael Sabbath, who filled in for me when I was on my honeymoon, along with about three other hosts. Michael Sabbath will be in here to talk about, in here, not in the studio, but on the telephone. He'll be talking about guns and a whole bunch of other things. He is a deep thinker and a fun guy and always tells you what he thinks. So I have a press lady. She's wonderful. And she puts out my blog posts and op-eds and all those kinds of things at the beginning of the week. And that's why the beginning of the week is always so very, very busy for me, because I'm either going to write an op-ed or a blog post or something. And sometimes I start out and it's an op-ed, and then a blog, and then it turns into an op-ed. You never know. It just kind of has a mind of its own. This week, I put out two of them, actually, and I don't have time to talk about both, and I would like you to just go there and read them. But sometimes what's so much fun about talk radio, because I'm really a talker who writes, not a writer who talks, is that you can expound on ideas. When you're writing them down, you know, they have to be very, very tight, certain number of words, and now I can kind of give explanation as to why I write what I write sometimes and what I'm thinking. Well, this one is already starting to get a lot of play, and the title is, and I just posted it really early this morning, I think. It's always the beginning of the week that I have to post. The suspicious death of Jeffrey Epstein is worthy of a Godfather plot. Now, little did I know that the blog that I posted that quotes Vito Corleone in a speech from The Godfather, which we will hear momentarily, and Doug is queuing that up for us right now. Little did I know that all heck would break loose in a very fun story. You gotta say, it's a fun, fun story. Another popcorn breaker outer. Have fun! Break out the popcorn. I like the sweet and salty myself. Chris Cuomo, who Rush Limbaugh calls Fredo, was called Fredo to his face, and the video was taken. Well, Chris Cuomo, first off, Fredo, if you're a Godfather geek like me, Fredo is the weak brother. And of course, that's why Chris Cuomo doesn't like it, because his older brother is governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. His father was governor of New York when I was living in New York, Mario Cuomo. Mario Cuomo made a big thing about the fact that he was an Italian-American. Well, Chris Cuomo, knee-jerk MSNBC host or whatever the heck he is, I don't listen. I think he's CNN actually, decided that that was a racial slur because liberals can never see anything ever but a racial slur, bigotry, homophobia, and on and on and on. But furthermore, liberals like Chris Cuomo have absolutely no sense of humor. They have no sense of humor. And I'll tell you what, I had to do a favor for both my producer this morning and for my wonderful producer, Doug Newsome, and not give him this audio, which you can hear on the internet, of Chris Cuomo. Now, I try to keep the same broadcast rules and regulations that we do on terrestrial talk radio. The truth of the matter is I could play it on internet talk radio because as of now, we don't have a whole bunch of people telling us what to do, what we can hear and what we can see and everything else. But since I like to keep the same broadcast standards, I'm not going to play that in its entirety because you can get it on the internet. Besides which, it's so entertaining. Among the things, not only did he say it's effing insult, it's an effing insult to your people, he said. It's like the N-word for us. Nonsense. Chris Cuomo has a very short fuse, and he's playing out the stereotype of the short-triggered Sonny Corleone, actually, who is portrayed by James Caan as a guy who has a very hair trigger. That's actually what gets him killed in The Godfather. I got to tell you, I'm a Godfather geek. I love The Godfather. My husband can't watch it with me, Godfather 1 and 2, because I'm always repeating the dialogue. I know pretty much the entire script of Godfather 1 and 2. Godfather 3, just ignore it. It's terrible. Francis Ford Coppola had to hire his daughter, which was, many people think, and I do too, ruin the movie. This was a pivotal role of Michael. See how I'm going on? That's not even what I wanted to talk about. But anyway, Cuomo lost it and started threatening this poor guy. And God love him, Brandon Straka, our friend Brandon Straka, who created Walk Away, the Walk Away movement. And he's going to be pivotal in the 2020 election, I believe, because he's given a lot of people permission to walk away from the radical, insane left-wing party. It's really quite astounding. So somebody, or Brandon Straka, actually took video of this and put it out there, and it has gone viral. Even the left has been forced into reporting it. That being said, I'm going to tell you about the blog that I wrote, which was really about Jeffrey Epstein. So as an aside, if you'd like to be entertained, bring your Orville Redenbachers with you as you look on the internet. If you have not already heard it, Chris Cuomo losing his mind. Actually, I have one other thing to comment on this, and that is that the narrative that the media constantly spins, that they're compassionate and they're just greater moral arbiters than the rest of us, is not only a lie, but it's a Hollywood myth. And every once in a while, when you have this alternative media, you get to get a glimpse behind the scenes as to who these people really are. That doesn't mean all of them, but everyone is an individual. And the left, as I've been saying very, very frequently lately, likes to collectivize everyone. They want to lump us all into certain boxes that are either all good or all bad. You know, this, along with everything else, is something that the left used to tell us that they never do, that they see the nuance, that it's so much more intellectually superior to see people as all matters of gray. And that's why they created the anti-hero, because anti-heroes are complex characters, and they they are not all good or all bad. Had a brain drain there for a moment. And so this is really what the left is being exposed for today. And that is that they're not who they profess to be. Now, A lot of you listening know that, but they're not who they profess to be. And Chris Cuomo is giving us a glimpse of some, not all, of who he really is. So getting back to my piece at KarenCataline.com, please visit me on Twitter, visit me on Facebook, or just go to KarenCataline.com. Even my producer misspelled my name this morning. It's K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. So the piece, The Suspicious Death of Jeffrey Epstein, is worthy of a Godfather plot. And I've opened my piece, it's very, very short, with a quote from Vito Corleone from The Godfather. Now, this is the scene where he is speaking up after Sonny's been killed, and he's talking to the heads of the five families, and he's trying to make peace among the five families by saying that he's going to make a promise that he's not going to kill anybody if nobody else does. Of course, as a little sneak peek, if you're one of the few people in the universe who hasn't seen The Godfather, Vito makes that promise personally, but he doesn't make it for his son, Michael, who ends up taking over the family. And Michael takes care of business later in the movie. This is a beautiful speech, and I want you to listen to it right now and see who it reminds you of. Doug, go.
My youngest son was forced to leave this country because of this Salazzo business. All right, I have to make arrangements to bring him back here safely, clear of all these false charges. But I'm a superstitious man. And if some unlucky accident should befall him, if he should get shot in the head by a police officer, or if he should hang himself in his jail cell, or if he's struck by a bolt of lightning, then I'm going to blame some of the people in this room. And that I do not forgive.
Now, with all the tissue paper in Marlon Brando's cheeks, perhaps you may not have heard all of that speech quite clearly, but the part that I began with in my blog was, but I'm a superstitious man. And he says, if his son should hang himself in his jail cell or be struck by a bolt of lightning. And so, obviously, don't want to insult your intelligence, this is one of those, accidental suicides. There was a terribly dark, and I shouldn't laugh because I don't wish anybody harm, even though Jeffrey Epstein was not the best guy. He died with a lot of secrets, and there were people that wanted him to die with those secrets. I think that we can be, of that we can be certain. But the fact that, I was going to tell you the memes. The funniest and darkest meme that I saw was that Jeffrey Epstein died, and a few days later, he cremated himself. Oh, dear. So a lot of suicides, a lot of deaths have been made to look like suicides. People are trying to point the finger at the Clintons and others because they have a trail of suspicious deaths following them. And my point here in this piece is really that with a media that is so incredibly corrupt and biased, a media that if you were watching ABC, NBC, CBS, and reading the New York Times, the Washington Post, and all the rest of what I call the legacy media, you would never have heard the words like Steele dossier or Fusion GPS or Bruce Orr, or a whole narrative has been ignored by the media while they focused on Mueller, 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 Russia, 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 because that's what they were pushing. That's what they wanted us to believe. And so if anybody in their right mind thinks that we're going to get the whole story, now we might get it in dribs and drabs like we've gotten some of the Steele dossier story and others. Already I'm seeing, and I'm getting a lot of calls to do interviews on this tiny little piece, but already we've seen that a lot of investigation is being done here. But he went to his grave with lots of secrets. And it is clear that people who knew Jeffrey Epstein are saying that this was not a guy who was going to commit suicide. He just wasn't, you know? And who knows? People have speculated. And let's not call it a conspiracy theory. Let's call it a possibility. I don't know any more than you do. What I'm having problems with is I don't trust the media to tell us. I trust the media to spin it the way they want to spin it to protect certain people and make sure that other people they don't like are implicated. That is what we've seen from the media now, certainly in the era of Trump. And long before that, we've seen it, that they don't even hide their bias anymore. So I'm not whining about the media, but I am saying that when you've seen a pattern of behavior with the media again and again and again, you don't then suddenly start listening to them when you know that they have a terrible track record. I mean, any entity, the legacy media, that would tell you that you're hurting free speech by criticizing them, which is preposterous on its face, that should tell you everything you need to know about the hubris and the arrogance of today's legacy media. Thank God we have alternative media, which, of course, leftists like Google and Amazon or all these billionaires are trying to control and shut down, because clearly they want to control the message. They want to control the narrative. And that's what they don't like about Donald Trump, is that they haven't been able to control the narrative with Donald Trump. Why? Because Donald Trump is a media master. We never had one on our side. I mean, the closest we came was Ronald Reagan, but that was for a different era. I maintain that Ronald Reagan would have gotten chewed up and spit out by these people, as they tried to do to Brett Kavanaugh. And the irony is, Brett Kavanaugh hasn't even been one of the most conservative justices. I mean, I think there's a lot of conservatives that aren't too happy with a few of Brett Kavanaugh's rulings. But to hear the Democrats talk about it, he was the end of the world for them. They were willing to do anything, including frame people. Frame Brett Kavanaugh for stuff he didn't do. The accusations were truly insane. They were insane. I had the pleasure of interviewing Molly Hemingway, who wrote a book about that with her co-author. I think I mentioned it last week. It was a lot of fun. I'll be able to get that on my website so you can hear that. It was done the last time I filled in on talk radio. Here's the thing. I don't believe that we are ever going to get the full story on Jeffrey Epstein, perhaps with alternative media, perhaps with a tough attorney general, which I hope he is, because I was a little fearful that he's letting Comey off the hook. We're just going to have to watch this play out. What I can say is there has never been a more extraordinary time to be watching politics or doing talk radio. And so my last line, and I'll give away the punchline, I guess, is that with regard to whether Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, someone else killed him, or even a lookalike was wheeled out of the Manhattan jail this past Saturday, alluding to the fact that he's probably living somewhere else with a little plastic surgery, we might as well ask Don Corleone, a fictional character, because to get the media to report just merely the facts, I think they've lost all track of what the facts are. That's what I think. And I'm not given to conjecture in the sense that I'm going to suddenly decide what I think happened. I just talked to another talk show host who I may talk to next week who thought that I was a walking encyclopedia on this case. I'm not. In fact, I don't really aspire to be, because, well, first off, there are too many fascinating things going on in the world. And secondly, it's going to be interesting what comes out, and I'll see what comes out. I'm not going to do an enormous amount of digging because I'm skeptical about what gets reported. That doesn't mean that basic facts aren't interesting, such as they're claiming Jeffrey Epstein died and they're claiming he committed suicide. Another thing I think is wonderful is that the public is more skeptical than ever. And to me, that's one of the best pieces of news there is that the media has so decayed, for the lack of a better word, their credibility, that people aren't buying the narrative. They're going to either check it out or they're going to be skeptical. And all in all, given what we've seen from the media, I think that's a good thing. When we come back, we are going to be joined by my friend Michael Sabbath. In Colorado, there is one of the most egregious, horrible, awful red flag laws that got passed in the country. I had a debate this morning, which is posted on my website, with a very smart a district attorney in Arapahoe County in Colorado, who is for certain forms of the red flag bill. I am not. I think it is a terrible trap that we're getting into, and that doesn't mean I don't care about innocent people getting hurt and shot. So we're going to go into some detail about that and probably a few other things that are in the news. If you'd like to hear that interview, that's the first interview I put up from this morning, and it says Cataline debates Brockler on red flag laws. Very, very interesting issue, because in light of these terrible atrocities that happened a couple of weeks ago, everybody is scrambling to see how much government they can impose before people start becoming a little more circumspect. Okay, so we're going to take a break right now. We're going to bring on our guest after the break. His name is Michael Sabbath. This is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. Oh, that was a good one. Good bumper. At least it lets me know when I'm supposed to start talking. I am delighted to have back with us on Spouting Off Michael Sabbath, who's an author, the author of The Good, the Bad, and the Difference, How to Talk with Children About Values. He's also an attorney, and he's just an all-around, down-to-earth, tells-it-like-it-is guy. Welcome back to Spouting Off Michael.
Hi, Karen. How are you today?
I am good, and I love that New York accent of yours.
Yeah.
It makes me feel
kind of... What accent? What accent?
Yeah, I know. What accent? It's all subjective, right?
Yes, exactly. It's all relative.
Yes, it is. When I lived in New York, because as you know, I'm originally from Colorado, and I'm happy to be back living here, people would say, what's your name? And I'd say, Karen. And they'd say, what? I'd say, Karen. They'd say, what? And finally, they'd say, oh, Karen.
Exactly.
And then I'd say, Morris was my maiden name. Morris? Morris? Oh, Morris. Karen Morris. That's your name.
That's...
It was fun. I loved it. So listen, Michael.
Yeah.
You love talking about the Second Amendment. And boy, oh boy, every single time, it's like clockwork. You can set your watch to it. You and I and people who support the Second Amendment and the right of law-abiding citizens to defend themselves in this country do not want to see innocent people killed, but we see an agenda by the other side. They've actually admitted, many of them, they want to repeal the Second Amendment. So when these horrible atrocities happen, we can predict the kinds of arguments they're going to make and to see how much closer they can get to complete gun confiscation. Yeah. Tell us what you're thinking about the red flag bills these days that they want to make national. What a disgrace.
Well, there are so many levels to this so-called red flag issue. The version that I am most familiar with is the one in Colorado, which is House Bill 19-11.
Yeah, which is the worst. Well, they don't care. But it's the worst one. It's the worst, right?
Well, I can't say that it's the worst. It's difficult to imagine anything that is worse.
Yes.
But there are many levels to this. One can understand the intent, the salubrious intent, the public safety intent. The issue immediately becomes, is that intent being realized in the legislation? And the answer is, it is not. The more intriguing issue for me is, why isn't it, and why do people do something, legislators, pundits that support it, the local population percentage that supports it, why do they support something that is disastrous?
And what's your answer to that, Michael?
Thought, you know, after these atrocious massacres, immediately people on both sides say, well, the issue is being politicized. I share a thought on that. I don't mind that it's politicized. In fact, I don't even know what the word politicized means in this context. When horrible things happen, I think it is wise and prudent and justifiable to talk about it and try to come up with a solution if that is possible. So the politicization of it doesn't matter. I welcome that. What I do not welcome, in fact, I go a stronger language than that, what I despise is the dishonesty and the vacuous anti-intellectualism of so many of the proposed solutions, and this red flag thing is one. I was chatting with a friend the other day, and the issue of these specific so-called military rifles, assault rifles, modern sporting rifles, there's all kinds of names for them. The AR-15, it's gotten a bad name. I say, given the attacks on the platform of the actual firearm, let's change the name. Instead of AR, which comes from Armalite, let's change the name to a different company. Let's say the Browning Sporting Series, and then we can shorten that and just call it BS, which I think is essentially what's going on here.
Well, Michael, let me ask you. You have alluded, and you've got me hanging now. And I want you to answer your own question. Why do they support something that doesn't work?
Well, it's a good question.
You asked it. That's why I asked it.
That's why it's such a good question. I asked.
Exactly.
what comes to mind, among other things, is a statement by the psychotherapist, and his name will occur to me, Gustav Jung. And he said, among other things...
I think it was Carl Jung, wasn't it?
Well...
Whatever.
Is it Carl
Whatever.
Jung? Okay, please forgive me. I'm shuffling
That's
through
okay.
a note here.
That's okay.
In any event, he made this statement. Carl Jung, you're exactly correct. Gustav is his middle name. That's what I used to call him when we went to school together.
okay.
He made this statement. He said, among other things, every form of addiction is bad, whether the narcotic be alcohol or morphine or idealism. Now, that's a powerful statement. It means people that are psychologically committed to abstraction. And in the current environment, people like Jordan Peterson call it postmodern. Dennis Prager will say, truth is not valued. Truth is not valued, and therefore lying is easy. What kind of person believes in something that is going to be destructive? It's difficult to answer, but it's nothing new. It's been going on. You can read Plato's dialogue, The Gorgias, which talks about the greatest evil, and that was 2400 BC.
My goodness, you're the second person in a week that has mentioned that name to me.
Oh,
let's
really?
Drill it down. Let's try to examine that a little bit, though. Let's examine why it is. This is such a good question.
Well,
and if anybody's listening and would like to chime in, they could as well. Is that all right?
Of course, it's all right.
I mean, that's what's great about talk radio is that you can actually examine things a little deeper than ordinary. So if anybody wants to call in and give your answer to the question, why do they support something that does not work? And I'd like to give my 2 cents just off the top of my head. Toll-free 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, if you'd like to weigh in on that question. So what do you said it is, there's definitely many layers, but I loved it. By the way, I loved it when you were mentioning Carl Jung, and I was thinking every absolute is bad. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Every single absolute is bad.
Yeah.
Which, well, I get a kick out of, because that's kind of the irony and the so forth of thought today. Go ahead.
Well, I agree. Here are some things about the red flag law, and if you view them in the context of what you and I just raised as a question, it becomes very problematic, and I think in the minds of a moral person, a decent person, it becomes very troublesome. Let's take the representative Sullivan, who sponsored the bill. I think it was in the Colorado House.
Well, yeah, and I gotta mention, there's a lot of listeners outside of Colorado who may or may not know about that.
Yes.
So,
well, I'll give some background. His son, or one of his sons, I don't know which, was murdered in the Aurora Theater shooting.
Yes.
Several years ago. Now, listen, I'm a dad. I cannot fathom the pain and the hurt. I cannot, and more than that, I don't want to fathom the pain and the hurt. But the unavoidable reality is that that suffering does not transform an immoral piece of legislation into something that's good. It just doesn't do it. And he should know it.
Right. Sorry. Before we move on to exactly what's in the red flag bill, because the red flag bill, for listeners who are just hearing this for the first time, or you're in a state where the red flag bill is being talked about nationally, but not necessarily locally, the idea is supposedly that we're going to take guns out of the hands of the mentally ill, and with all these complaints that if someone who is an ex-husband or an ex-wife or an ex-roommate or someone who's had some contact with you, and it's pretty general, decides that you are a danger to yourself or others, they can make nothing more than a phone call and have a judge order, without ever eyeballing you ex parte, without your knowledge, that some sheriff, and usually it's a young sheriff who's going to put his life in danger, is going to come to your house, possibly in a no-knock raid, coming to confiscate your guns. You don't know why. You don't know what the charges are. All you know is someone's trying to get in your house, and you don't know what the charges are. This violates so many constitutional laws. It puts law-abiding citizens in danger, opens the door to false accusations, which, of course, the left never, ever engages in. And I don't know, I want to go back to this question because I want a chance to answer this wonderful question that you asked, which is, why do they support something that doesn't work? Can you stay with us while we take a break and maybe you can answer that question for us, and then I'll take a crack at it too, okay?
Okay, Karen.
All right. Michael Sabbath is with us, great friend of the program. When we come back, we'll be trying to answer that question, or at least examine it a little deeper. And if you'd like to join us, please call in and give us your thoughts. 888-627-6008. Karen Cataline, your host and producer of Spouting Off. And we'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. We're talking to Michael Sabbath, attorney, author, and friend of the program. He has filled in for me when I was on my honeymoon, and it's really always fun to talk to Michael because he thinks about things deeply, and he posed a question. And I'm trying to put the brakes on Michael because, boy, oh boy, he could talk, and so could I for a long time. But this is an opportunity to drill down a little bit. So before the break, we were talking about why do opponents of things like the Red Flag Bill and other gun control measures, which are proven not to work, why do they support something that doesn't work anyway? What do you think, Michael?
Well, I cannot answer that with any definitive and articulate statement. The fact is, I just look at the facts. I see certain things that impress me as reasonable or impress me as unreasonable. I believe the red flag law, Colorado in particular, is constitutionally defective, procedurally defective, morally obscene, and knowingly will cause people to die or people to get injured. I can explain why. So why so many people support this, I don't know. But in a sense, we could say we're asking the question, why is there evil? And I don't have the answer to that.
That's a good question, too, but I'm glad we're not going to examine that one today.
No, but I'll But I do search for insights. I lecture on hunting ethics and firearms ethics throughout the country. A few months ago, I was in Alberta, the Canadian province of Alberta, Edmonton, speaking about these things and how to craft arguments to analyze attacks on hunting, attacks on shooting sports, and so on. And in that research, I share with you, I found a statement by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. In brief, Bonhoeffer was in the ministry in Germany during the rise of Hitler and was trying to got involved in a movement to kill Hitler and some other people, and he was executed in 1945, and he was a brilliant, brilliant man, and he made a statement, among others, about stupidity. And he said, I have this statement here. It was a letter that he wrote from the prison titled On Stupidity. And he wrote, stupidity is a more dangerous enemy of the good than malice. One may protest against evil, but it can be exposed and, if need be, prevented by use of force. Against stupidity, we are defenseless. Neither protests nor the use of force accomplish anything here. Reason falls on deaf ears, and so on. He goes on and on.
Let me stop you there, because I'd like to take a crack at the answer to the question.
Okay.
Maybe even jumping off from what you just said. It gave me the perfect opening Michael.
Show, and I give you
No. I mean, this is a dialogue, and that's what is great. So I'd like to take a crack, and obviously it's commentary, it's not fact, it's even a little conjecture, but I have been working, I sort of have a working theory that there are a small group of leftist strategists, I don't know who all they are, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do know, and I've written extensively on the kinds of big money that is supporting a host of policies in state legislatures around the country, including the red flag bill, that make it clear that these are absolutely foundational issues that big moneyed leftists want to impose on the country, regardless of what they want. And wherever they can do it most easily, like in a state like Colorado that now has a Democrat monopoly of power, and that monopoly is from very hard progressivist leftists that basically hail from Denver and Boulder, what I think those people who are strategizing and putting money behind it and the people who jump on the bandwagon are two entirely different groups. All right. So and there's lots of people. This is an analogy here. I don't like collectivizing people into groups, but I think for the purpose of explaining this, it's helpful. Just know that it's limited. And that is that the strategists are hoping to build a mass psychology in order to affect a certain goal. The mass psychology, in my opinion, goes to what you're talking about ignorance. That's why the left would love for people to vote younger and younger and younger, yet they still want their parents, they want parents to keep them on their insurance until they're 26. So on the one hand, they want kids to be still children and not be self-sufficient, but on the other, they don't. So it is convoluted, forgive me. But what I'm really trying to focus here on is that the core strategists are trying to create a new group psychology that says that guns are evil. Therefore, anybody who owns a gun to defend themselves is evil, that there is no difference between a good guy with a gun and a bad guy with a gun, because anybody who has a gun is, you guessed it, evil. I wrote a piece in Town Hall about that. And this psychology, yes, it is built on ignorance. And the ignorance is a lot of useful idiots that are disarming themselves willingly by strategists who are hoping to repeal the Second Amendment. That's what's going on by a group of highly irresponsible, lawless people, some lawmakers, who want to disarm law-abiding citizens. That's why they turn criminals into victims and law-abiding citizens into criminals. They want to lump everybody together, and yet they want criminals not to be held accountable, and they want to hold law-abiding citizens accountable for criminal behavior. It must be someone's fault other than the criminal. This all goes to this new group psychology that guns are evil and therefore anyone who has one is evil. Your thoughts?
Can I get back to you in 4 months? Because that's a lot of material.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm a talk show host. What can I do?
That's right. That's right. So, what you say resonates. I can give some insight into some of the points that you make.
Please do.
Regarding how these laws are drafted, it is correct that they are being drafted by lawyers and others that are aligned with very progressive left-wing anti-gun, anti-constitutional groups. I don't know who's funding them, but I'll give you some insight. I did a lot of research.
Well, Michael Bloomberg is one, just to...
Okay, so
and he's got Bloomberg. A lot of money.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Bloomberg is one, and no doubt there are others. But maybe you know the name David Koppel, and for the listeners who might be unfamiliar with David, he works at the Independence Institute in Denver, Colorado. And it is a think tank, so to speak, that leans a little bit conservative. Now, David Koppel, I've known for many years.
Libertarian and conservative, yes.
My daughter, my oldest child, actually was a clerk for him many years ago. David, in brief, has an IQ of about 1,200, and there is nobody on the planet that knows more about the constitutional aspects and the practical aspects of these red flag laws.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we're not allowed to disagree with him, because, in fact, he does support certain red flag legislation. And he thinks, and I fully 100% disagree, that you can make a red flag bill with due process. And I'm sorry, with the kind of people who would abuse this law, I don't believe so. I mean, I'm being short so you can go back to your point.
No, it's okay.
David Koppel does support a red flag bill, not the one that was passed in Colorado in this last session, but the one that was proposed the year before, which just made people crazy, to coin a phrase. So, you know, you're not crazy, but you have to go to a judge to prove that you're mentally well enough to be able to defend yourself. This is very, very dangerous. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
All of that is true. I do not know that he actually supported a specific written document. I know that he supported, in theory, some form of a so-called red flag. He testified before the United States Senate. He was part of a very sophisticated legal group, Uniform Laws Committee, that was sought to draft an acceptable red flag law. It never got anywhere because of the gun control people that subverted any effort to do something that might be considered reasonable. Another person in Colorado, coincidentally, at the Independence Institute, coincidentally, is Rob Nadelson. He is an expert on the Constitution. So happens I've known him for many years. And he has written brilliant articles indicating, among other things, how any of these red flag laws, as are presently drafted, not in theory, but the ones that are presently drafted violate the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment. Okay, so the issue then is not a shortage of wisdom, but a matter of how one sees the world. And some people see the world, well, certainly different from how I see it, but in my opinion, somewhat corruptly. Now, you mentioned something, Karen, that resonated with me. You used the phrase conspiracy theorists, and I am going to take issue with that, with the use of that phrase. You said you're not a conspiracy theorist. It so happens that that phrase has been used like a tsunami regarding this Jeffrey Epstein business, and people are being accused of conspiracy theorists. And I think I would caution the use of that phrase, because it is another leftist rhetorical trope.
Okay, I agree. I agree, but we got off the subject here for a second.
Okay.
Let me bring you back a little bit, or let we only have, I don't know, about 5 minutes
really?
Left to wrap this up. Yeah, it goes fast, doesn't it?
I have so many more pages of notes.
I know. You're such a detailed person. You're the opposite of me, in a way.
Yeah.
I like thinking big picture, and that makes us a good team, I think. One point, and we don't have time to get really into anything else except this gun business,
okay,
because it is so multifaceted. But one aspect I wanted to throw out, and I would like you to talk about also, if we have time, what you would support. Is there any form of a red flag bill that you would support? And I don't know what that would look like anyway. I am extremely dubious about all of it, because I know who's writing those bills, not specifically by name, but I know the left is pushing those bills, and they don't push those bills without a political agenda. The point I want to bring out is, as I was doing this morning, I engaged in a debate with district
Brockler.
Attorney from Arapahoe County, George Brockler.
That's why he lost.
Yeah. And, one of the things we even didn't get to, because it is such a big issue, it's big right now, and there's gun puns galore, like it's a hot issue,
right,
is that my mental health background has me wanting to throw up giant red flags, another pun,
right,
for people to stop putting so much faith in the mental health community. I practiced as a mental health professional.
Very interesting.
The notion that we can, anyone, let alone a mental health trained professional, can divine the future and specifically tell who will and will not commit a crime, and that conversation never gets really had. Not only is mental health profession, the mental health profession, an art, not a science, but over 95% of mental health professionals are liberals. So giving them power to decide who's crazy, and I use that term advisedly, and who's not, when they think leftists have already put out there in the culture that owning a gun for self-protection is crazy. And they think gun ownership is crazy. So you think they're going to be unbiased? This is a leftist. The leftist part of this are people who have already admitted that they want to repeal the Second Amendment. So that's not the side that I think we need to focus on. And yet, this side, and I'm going on too long, I'm sorry, really, really benefits the anti-gun crowd, because why go for due process and actually having to have witnesses and have someone be able to face their accuser when all you have to do is call someone crazy and you can take away their guns?
Well, you raise a very astute point, and I say that not to be fawning. It so happens that I agree. I happen to agree. And I would go a step further and say that the so-called therapeutic profession, the psychotherapy profession, is just one example, or rather one component of so many larger additional complex systems, all of which have to work if there's to be any sanity in this, but we know that they cannot work. We know that they cannot work.
Now, we have two more minutes, Michael.
I think to your larger point, or the greatest point, is this something, is it a cultural stream, a cultural tendency now? And I believe the answer is exactly yes. I believe it is part of a large tendency towards the loss of individual liberty, the loss of individual rights, using various mechanisms such as mental health, the legal system, putting police in charge of smashing into homes. You have to, a listener that is not familiar with these laws should, I guess they don't have to do anything, but should understand that the very implementation of these laws gives the police the power to create the very situation that will justify them killing homeowners.
Michael, yes. That's going to have to be the last word, because we have to go, and I really need to tease very quickly that, number one, thank you so much for being with us. I'll have to have you on again soon, because you bring so much to the table. But I would be remiss in this conversation if I didn't tease that I do have something in mind that really, really makes the left's head explode. In my opinion, with a world, a country that is becoming infinitely more lawless and more dangerous, that civilization, and I'm afraid I can't have you come, and I'm just going to kind of follow up at the end here, the exact opposite needs to happen. Texas, after the El Paso atrocity, is actually going about loosening gun laws to allow law-abiding citizens to have more access to guns in order to protect themselves and possibly others from getting hurt when we have such a lawless culture that is supporting criminality. So that's a tease for next time. People, Google that. It's on my Facebook page, I believe. And if it's not, I'll get it up there, because that is the exact opposite of what the left wants to have happen. If you want to protect innocent life, you have to protect it like you protect your money and like you protect things that you care about. And that is, we always protect things we care about with guns. That's the reality. Michael, thank you so much for being with us. Sorry we didn't have more time. It's always a pleasure to have you.
It's my pleasure,
and,
Karen.
Have you on again soon. That's all the time that we have for this edition of Spouting Off. Wonderful conversation. Thanks to Michael Sabbath and to Doug, my producer, and BBS Radio, and to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.